You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast today on Friday, September 24th. We're really, really close to the end of the season here as October is right around the corner. And now is a great time to also let you know that today's episode of Locked On Pirates is, of course, brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room, of course, is the first social audio app that lets you talk about sports with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Is a perfect place to join or start conversations about Major League Baseball, just like the one me and my guest Dan Wilson are going to have today. You'll find fans just like you on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Also, you can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL channels, as well as the NFL channels. Football is all going on right now. But getting into the nitty-gritty, my name is Ethan Smith, the host of Locked On Pirates, and we are here once again with a familiar face that we didn't have too much time in between since the last time he was here, Mr. Dan Wilson of the Locked On Phillies podcast. And I know you're feeling good after last night. You guys looked great, but how are you doing outside of that?
Yeah, no, I'm doing well. Like I said, you know, or like you said, rather, the Phillies are still in contention. This is a team that has caused me, and not just me, but the city of Philadelphia, a lot of angst this year. But two back in the National League East with nine games to play. One of my favorite times of the year, not just in the sports year, but in the year of in general, is fall. I think this is the best time of year for a variety of reasons. Up here, you're down in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Okay, so up here in the Northeast, I actually, you know, a lot of people who live in the South might disagree with this. A lot of people up here might disagree with this. I actually like living in a place with four seasons. Like, I like the transition of it. I think it makes, like, the summer and the spring more appreciated when it's not just the same all the time. And I also love fall. Like, when September turns to October and it's, like, you know, you have to wear a sweatshirt and shorts, I think that's, like, the absolute best weather, like, right around 50, 55 degrees. Don't get me wrong. I love summer. I love wearing t-shirt and shorts, but when it gets too hot and humid, that's no good. Last night I'm at the game, it's nice and cool. There's a little bit of an overcast. I think this is really, really cool weather. And I also think it's the best time of the sports year. You're right in the thick of things in terms of football season. Basketball is going to be coming back shortly. You're going to have all the hockey is going to be all overlapping here. And in terms of baseball, you have wild playoff scenarios that are changing so drastically each and every day. We're coming down here to postseason baseball that we're going to have all of October. So it's really, really exciting. And for the Phillies right now, a lot of wild scenarios that I'm sure we'll, you know, I'll at least get into here throughout the course of the episode, because they're nine games to go. That would be a problem. two games back of the Braves. They have three games in Atlanta next week. There's this weird thing going on today where they're playing in San Diego and they have to finish this doubleheader game from when they were playing in Atlanta. And so they're in the middle of the fifth inning, the Padres are up. So they have to finish that and they're going to play a nine inning game. So that could, I mean, today is like the biggest day of this division race. If the Phillies could be, as of this time tomorrow, within a half game of the National League East, they could also be 3.5 games back in the National League East. The Rockies and Braves had a game rained out a few weeks back in Atlanta. So if that game ends up mattering, they're going to have to come back on Monday, October 4th, the day after the final day of the season for everybody else, and play a one game, like just fly out there for one game for 162. So a lot of weird things going on right now. And as weird as this Philly season has been, the sum of all parts is that they have a chance, which, you know, you don't just, when the team has like the fifth highest payroll in baseball and you have what looks like it's going to be the National League MVP and Bryce Harper, you'd like a little bit more than a chance. You would like to actually win the division. But for a team who has largely been irrelevant for the last 10 years, I don't know how you can't have your eyes peeled on it right now.
Yeah, realistically. And I mean, looking at the standings, as you mentioned, of course, in the wild card, it's going to be a little bit tougher for the Phillies, 4.5 back. Doesn't look like the St. Louis Cardinals are going to lose ever again at the current moment.
I mean, I've lost hope in the wild card. I think it's the division or bust.
Yes. And realistically, there's nothing wrong with that, though, especially when you look at who Atlanta has to play. I mean, the Braves don't have that many easy games. I mean, they play you guys, of course, in three games, and you're focused on us right now, which this weekend, really, of course, it's a four-game series. You guys already handled business last night. But the Atlanta Braves, too, there's no, like, real pushovers here right now with them. They play the Padres still, then they play you guys, and then they cap off the season against the Mets team that the Mets are out of it at this point. But, I mean, Mets fans are probably relishing the fact that, hey, we can knock Atlanta out of the playoffs and have the Phillies in the playoffs. I mean, either way, it doesn't look good for them. But at this point, this is, like you said, probably the best time, obviously, in baseball, but the best time in sports in general, just because even though the Pirates are out of it right now, we've almost single-handedly taken the Reds out of the playoff race after that series that we just
had. Playing spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we could do the same thing here if they can figure out a way to make even one game here for the Pirates. They could lose three out of four in Philadelphia, and it could do wonders for the Pirates to spoil what the Phillies are trying to do. And I brought this up on my podcast on Wednesday, looking at the idea, as you mentioned, that the Phillies win tonight. They're at what I believe a game back if they win tonight. And then,
well, it could literally be a half game. Well, it depends what the Braves do, but it could literally be a half game back because the Braves are in the middle of one game right now. So they're going to have two outcomes come down today. Mm-hmm. If the Braves lost both and the Phillies won, they'd be within a half game. If the Braves split and the Phillies won one, they would gain a half a game, or it could go a half game the other way, or even a game and a half the other way. Mm-hmm. So it's wild stuff. Like, there's four different possible outcomes here.
Yeah, and it's pretty interesting, too, for the Pirates, because you also look at the games that we still have to play. Of course, the Cubs series won't really mean that much. Us and the Cubs, obviously, eliminated from playoff contention. But we still also play the Reds, and anything can happen in baseball. Dan will be the first person to tell you that. I mean, the last time he was here, the Phillies were basically a team that couldn't find a way to get out of the 500 slump. And now they finally have seemed to get out of it. And
just a little bit. I mean, if the season was longer, I'm sure they'd go back to it, because it seems like they're just a magnet to 500. But every now and again, they go on these winning streaks. And by the way, I have a stat when you're ready for just how weird baseball is in a second. But finish your thought.
Yes. But either way, playoff baseball, we've seen the Braves even. We've seen them have that kind of catastrophic collapse before. I forget what year it was, but I believe they were eight games up in the division or something. It was like they either came back from eight games down, or they had an eight game lead and lost it. I can't remember what year it was, but it was like from September 1st to like October, they were like one of the worst teams in baseball while leading their division and ended up losing the division. So just because there's not that many games left here, especially for the Pirates, it's a small sample size of what we're watching here in Pittsburgh as far as what's going on. But for the Phillies, I mean, all of these games are astronomical, not even just the games, but every pitch, every inning. Like, going down 6-0 yesterday, I'm sure Phillies fans were probably like scrambling, like, what's going on? And then you rip off a dozen unanswered runs and you're like, okay, we're all good again. But what was your stat about why baseball is crazy this year?
All right. So here's something crazy for you, right? So the Phillies basically haven't addressed the rotational depth issue all season long for a variety of reasons, whether it be Zach Eflin hitting the injured list, only trading for one starter at the trade deadline, trying to work Matt Moore and Chase Anderson and Vince Velasquez into starting rotation roles this season. The Phillies are stuck with a rotation that leaves the five spot right now as either Matt Moore, who stinks, and that's been proven. The other day, they tried Adonis Medina, who has been in the minors for a while. He's pitched in the major league level before in prior years, but like, they finally brought him up because they were just hoping he would eat some innings, but he is not really a major league pitcher either. And for the most part, they've been doing these bullpen games, and that's what's scheduled, ironically, this Sunday for Fan Appreciation Day at Citizens Bank Park, is yet another bullpen game. And everyone dreads these bullpen games because the Phillies bullpen like only has so many reliable relievers as it is, and you're asking for guys to get overworked and you're getting through nine innings, and it just doesn't seem like a sustainable thing for a playoff team to be doing once every 5 days, right? Since August 1st, the Phillies have had the five spot in the rotation come up nine times. There was once where an off day actually bailed them out. They didn't have to do it. But nine times they have either had Matt Moore start the game, the other day Adonis Medina, which is basically still a bullpen game, or just a flat-out bullpen game, like literally relievers for all nine innings. And the Phillies in those games are 7-2. And despite how bad you would think, but like if you ask the average person who didn't really look into it, they'd be like, oh, these games stink, they need to go. And that's true. The combined ERA in those games feels like it's about 20. But the offense apparently shows up in those games. And just to compare it even further to make this weirder. So the other night in the series finale against the Orioles, Zach Wheeler pitches and they win the game and they improved to 7-3 in Zach Wheeler starts since August 1st, which means that before Wednesday, like the stat I tweeted out was that they actually were, they were 7-2 when the five spot pitches and 6-3 when Zach Wheeler pitches since August. And he had declined a little bit, but for a guy who was in the Cy Young conversation for much of this year, the fact that they actually like had a worse record overall in those games than they do in the five spot was just mind boggling to me. And it's, that's just kind of like the oddities and how weird baseball can be, that they get run support for the worst pitchers when they're all teaming up together. And then when the really good starter goes, maybe the offense thinks they can take more of a night off. Again, they hadn't been bad, but like, we're actually like a game worse. And so as odd as that's been, and I was, I've been as critical of the bullpen game as any, you know, saying that, you know, this is just indicative of a lack of depth within the rotation. And they have no one to call up and pitch these innings, and playoff teams don't do this down the stretch of a season. It's actually worked out quite, I'll say it's worked out well in spite of the fact they're doing it. Like, I don't want to credit the bullpen has pitched, has been overworked and taxed. It feels like time in, time out. Like, they do a lot of work, and a lot of times it's subpar work. And a lot of times it's like, hey, tip your cap, they actually came through and exceeded our expectations. I don't want to say it's because the bullpen has been so good and it's, that record is indicative of a course of action you should continue to plan on in future years, or if the season was extending a little bit longer. But it's very, very odd that they've actually been able to win games quite record-wise convincingly in spite of that.
Yeah, and you know what else is kind of crazy, Dan, is that some people use financial systems that aren't called NetSuite. NetSuite, of course, make the switch. It's awesome. It's by Oracle. It's the number one financial system because NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon right now to get special financing at netsuite.com. Today's episode is also, of course, brought to you by Built Bar. Dan, what is your favorite Built Bar flavor? They're all great, but what's your favorite one?
It's got to be the cookies and cream. It's definitely the direction I tend to lean.
Oh, yeah, of course. See, the PA people all get along with that, at least. We can have the fight about Wawa and all that other stuff.
But and Sheets, but yeah, but I think both carry Built Bars and cookies and cream. It's good no matter what part of the state you're in.
Oh, yeah, of course. And did you also know that Built Bar has so many other delicious flavors as well? There is something for everyone. Coconut, cherry, barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, German chocolate, and of course, our favorite cookies and cream. If you haven't tried all these flavors, you can even get a mix box where you'll get two of each of the nine flavors that I just listed. They're also very healthy for you as well, only containing 4 to 5 grams of sugar and net carbs, as well as a max of 180 calories. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to builtbar.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off of your next order if you have not taken part in the best protein bars on the market. Honestly, the Pirates might need to eat a Built Bar too, based on how they looked yesterday. And it's oddly funny enough that you brought up a bullpen game, because that's exactly what we were doing yesterday with Connor Overton, who some in Pittsburgh have compared to Shohei Ohtani because all of a sudden he can hit and pitch for some reason, which is hilarious.
That bloop single he had in yesterday's game, at this point, I'm thinking the Phillies are going to, need two outs. They need one more out, right? Bases loaded. Mm-hmm. Nola looks like he's going to get out of a jam, which is something he struggled with all season long, is, you know, stranding runners. And there's a little bloop to left, and I believe it was Galvis and McCutchen. And McCutchen, you know, unfortunately just does not have the legs that he used to, or frankly, you know, when he was in Pittsburgh and was an MVP candidate, you saw the best of him. And while he's a great guy to have in the clubhouse and has had offensive spurts throughout the season, just does not have the speed that he used to. And it drops just perfectly placed for two runs. I mean, that guy will never have, I don't want to say it's lucky because it's a major league hit, but that guy will never have a luckier hit in his entire life.
And I entirely agree 100%. And then also, I think that's, again, where Philly fans really started getting really scared because Key Brian Hayes bombed a home run literally like pretty much right after that.
And he remembered to touch first base this time. Yeah.
Yes, he did make sure he touched first base this time. And then, of course, Moran homers as well, 432, you know, gets the whole thing going. And at that point, I'm like, okay, they're up 6-0. This is going to be pretty tough for the Phillies to come back. And then the third inning happened.
Five-run rally, which, you know, made this thing a game. I will say about this Phillies team, this is the third time. Let me re-pull up this stat because I actually mentioned it on my podcast today. This is the third time, or not the third time. Well, this is the third time this September the Phillies have been down 6 runs and managed to come back and win the game. Per Elias Sports and per Jason Stark, the great baseball writer, Hall of Famer, they've now won 3 games in the month of September after trailing by at least 6 runs. The only ever team to do that, not just in September, but in any given month in the history of baseball, were the 1884 Cincinnati Reds. Like, as much as this team wants me or has me bang my head into a wall, as much as it seems like this team has been out of it time and time again, the fact that they have gone on yet another mini winning streak here and have won a few series in a row to make themselves relevant again. And even when they're down 6 runs in them 3 times in the same month, they come back. There was a game in Washington. They were down 6-0, 1-7-6, I believe it was last week, literally a week ago on Thursday against the Cubs. They're down 7-0 and they come back to win 17-8, I believe was the final score. And then last night, 12 unanswered runs. Apparently, you know, if they go down 6 runs tonight, the Phillies will have the Pirates right where they want them.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, this is where I think we're going to get more into about what the Phillies and the Pirates, how they can compare and stuff. The Phillies, of course, again, there's no guarantee here. Dan will be the first person to tell you there's no guarantee here that you're going to be watching the Philadelphia Phillies pass October 4th or 5th or whatever the last day of the year is. But they've at least given the fan base a reason to set, like, to watch the final 9 or 10 games of the year. And what can the Pirates do moving forward that the Phillies have done to get to that point, or even better? And what can they learn from the Phillies, in specific, the 2021 Phillies?
So, like, what can the Pirates learn from this Phillies team to get to? Well, you know, if you want to go start from the top down from the front office, you could spend a lot of money, as the Phillies have.
Yes.
I would definitely recommend trying to develop some more depth and prospects within your organization, which I know is something the Pirates tried to accumulate at the trade deadline when they sold off Adam Frazier and
Frazier, Tyler Anderson, Braden Ogle,
and they're trying to do the typical route of, like, you know, you're getting prospects back and you hope that a few years from now you have some, not technically homegrown talent within your organization, but assets within your organization that give yourself a competitive team. Then you try and, you know, fill out the rest of your roster. And I know the Pirates ownership doesn't have the, you know, or like Pittsburgh isn't the market that Philly is, you know, you can't just like buy talent the same way, but that is really, so buying talent is kind of why the Phillies are where they are. I would certainly say one thing to not do is get yourself some more rotational depth. You don't want to be stuck doing these bullpen games once every 5 days, especially down the stretch of the season. So if there's a problem, address it. Don't address it with Chase Anderson and Matt Moore. That's not a good thing. But on the positive standpoint, you know, the Phillies are where they are in large part due to Bryce Harper. This guy wasn't even an all-star in July. And in the second half of the season, I mean, in my opinion, I'll get your take on this. I think he is the MVP for a few reasons. One, I thought the biggest knock against him was that the Phillies, it looked like, we're not going to be in the playoffs and the Padres were. Well, the Padres aren't going to the postseason either. And now Juan Soto has actually jumped Fernando Tatis in OPS. The home run and the RBI gap has kind of closed here. And the only reason the Phillies are still in it and they're the most in contention team, and certainly if the Phillies make the playoffs, I think Harper's got to be the MVP. I mean, he's had that good of a second half.
I agree. And this is where I'll throw out a scenario too, is where people can have a thought process on this, is swap Bryce Harper and Juan Soto right now. Same stats, same player, same exact player, but just put them on different teams. Put Bryce Harper on the Nationals again and put Juan Soto on the Phillies. I guarantee you Juan Soto wins the MVP just purely off of being as competitive as the Phillies are at the moment.
Just being Juan Soto. Yeah. The name value, and Bryce Harper is certainly a name, but you know, Juan Soto, Tatis, I get it. Vlad are the hot young names in the game right now, the way Bryce Harper was once a few years ago. And for all the overrated chance he hears and for all the overpaid chance he hears, and like, you know, when you get paid this much, expectations comes with it. If the Phillies miss the playoffs, Bryce Harper should not get an ounce of the blame, because he was literally hurt for like a solid month there, battled back to get himself. First of all, the guy just is a warrior and tries to play every single day. The biggest knock I have on him is he's a pretty dumb base runner. Like, he tries to hustle, almost over hustle too much. Like, if he thinks there's even a 2% chance that he can get to the next base, he tries to do it. And he's been tagged standing up or just out by 5 to 10 feet way too many times this year. But the guy brings it every single day. The guy, you know, cares about the Phillies a lot and refuse it. Like, again, is leading the charge on why the Phillies are where they are. So I think he, you know, if you can get an MVP candidate, a tip for the Pirates on your team as well, that certainly helps. I think back to those, the Pirates last made the playoffs in 2015 wild card game. Am I correct in saying that? Yep. So, you know, when you have MVP Andrew, what year did McCutchen win the MVP?
He won it in 2013.
Okay. So, but you know, the Pirates were leading up to that, you know, having an MVP on your team certainly helps. Mm-hmm. So that's what I could say take from the Phillies. I wouldn't necessarily say to mimic the Phillies rebuild, because I think there's a lot flawed with it. And, you know, even if this team gets itself into the playoffs, then it's a whole different ballgame trying to actually win those playoff games. And I think the Phillies will be outmatched very quickly once they reach October. But this Phillies team is the longest playoff drought in the National League and haven't been there in 10 years. And so at this point, it's just like, just get me October baseball. Just get me, just get me into the division series. Like, I don't consider it a successful season if they lose, and like, if they were to lose in a wild card game, or if they were to lose, you know, there's a very real scenario here where the Braves have to play that game on Monday, October 4th. And depending on the outcome of that, the Phillies and Braves end up with the same exact record, and there would be a one game playoff at Citizens Bank Park. Like, I wouldn't consider that the playoffs either, but just get me baseball. When I say get me baseball beyond October 3rd, like, I'm just so sick of the final day of the regular season just being it for the Phillies. And they haven't even had a winning record in that long, which does actually seem like they're going to exceed here now, because as we sit here today, the Phillies come in with a record of 79-74. They would have to go 2-7 or worse down the stretch. And if they do that, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. And it would I would be convinced that this team is cursed and stuck, truly stuck at 500 for the remainder of the season. So there's a lot of things that are flawed about it, but, you know, get a group of fighters, I guess. And, you know, if you have an MVP on your team, that certainly helps as well.
I can tell you one name that a lot of people should watch as a potential MVP in Pittsburgh in the future: O'Neill Cruz. That kid is ridiculous. He's 6'7". He plays shortstop. He's a left-handed bat. First game in
6'7" shortstop. Damn.
Yes. Well, he might move to the outfield. They haven't really specified.
That seems like big for an outfielder, let alone a shortstop.
But I mean, he if when he debuts, as far as I'm concerned, I've read this already, because there's really nobody else that fits the billing. Him and Aaron Judge will be the only players 6 foot or taller in the entire league, I believe.
Okay, you cut out. I sounded like 6 foot. It was like, there's definitely 6 foot.
Yeah, guys. There's a lot of guys that are 6 foot.
6 foot, 6'7" or taller. Yeah, and Judge is a big dude. So has there been a short? Come think about shortstops that have been that big. Like, A-Rod was a bigger shortstop. Cal Ripken was a bigger shortstop, but there really haven't been, like, usually if you're taller than like 6'3", 6'4", you're moving somewhere else.
Yeah, and that's kind of like the that's kind of the place where it's getting a little interesting, is it's like, where do you play him? But when you see what he did in his first game in AAA the other day, he's a left-handed bat, took a ball opposite field in his first AAA game in a huge game for the Indianapolis Indians as well. So it's like, hopefully they do find that guy. But one thing I took away from the Phillies so far, what I've seen yesterday, what I've seen from the games we played against them this year, is Bryce Harper is that MVP guy, but they have a good set of guys around him. It's a very good set of players. And realistically, on the trajectory of what some people are comparing the Pirates to at the moment, look at what the Phillies have. JT Realmuto is one of the better hitting catchers in baseball. He's one of the better like catchers in all of baseball. And what did the Pirates just do? They just drafted a catcher number one overall this year in Henry Davis, who some people have compared to Will Smith in Los Angeles. I've seen minor JT Realmuto comparisons, stuff like that. But the thing that's interesting with me is I think 2022 next year for us is going to be that crazy year. But before we really get into this whole tangent about all that, if you guys want to bet on any of these final three games between the Pirates and the Phillies this year, the Eagles and Steelers don't play this year. So we'll have to wait for the Pittsburgh-Philly rivalry in hockey to come back, which that should be interesting with hockey coming back on ESPN this year. Make sure you go to betonline.ag, though, if you want to get in on the action here between the Pirates and the Phillies. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, I will be honest, it looks pretty good. Even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football, basketball, and baseball. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your even Vegas casino games. So yeah, if you're not near Vegas and you want to play some Texas Hold'em, you can do it on betonline.ag. They don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. And when you use promo code LOCKEDON, they'll even give you free money. So that is BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And I have no idea how you watch TV, Dan. I don't know if you have to do the streaming sites or if you have MLB TV. How do you watch your TV?
Yeah, I do a lot of, I do some MLB TV, regular what's cable, but I certainly am hooked on DirecTV Stream.
Oh yeah, DirecTV Stream is awesome. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV Stream at DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by pack. And if you want to talk about content varying by packages, of course, Dan's team is in the playoff hunt right now. My team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, our team here at Locked On Pirates, of course, not in the playoff hunt at all, but you guys still choose to come talk to me and see me Monday through Friday, as you should with Dan over at Locked On Phillies. Let's talk about baseball as a whole. Outside of what the Phillies got going on right now, what should baseball fans, and I've talked about it every once in a while, but what should baseball fans be watching for down the stretch of these final like 9 to 10 games?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of good playoff races going on. Certainly should be paying attention to the National League East and whether, you know, my Phillies can pull out here at least a game 163 or potentially challenge the Braves here till the very end, which I'm not necessarily confident that the Phillies will be in the playoffs, but I do think they will challenge them basically up until the final weekend. The NL West race, I think, is really, really interesting because the Giants currently have 99 wins. The Dodgers currently have 98, and one team who's easily going to have 100, maybe 100, 300, 405 wins. One of those two teams is going to have to play a wild card game, which is just absolutely nuts that you could win, be that good and win that many games over the course of 162 games and still be forced to play in a one game playoff. That's just the nature of the baseball playoffs, the nature of the baseball playoff system as of right now. You take a look at in the American League. Look, the Yankees are not the Red Sox and the Yankees. Neither of them are locks to make the playoffs right now. The Yankees are skating on thin ice. Like the Blue Jays only a game behind them. The Mariners, how about the Mariners? Only two games behind the Yankees. And they have a longer playoff drought than the Phillies by 10 years. Exactly. They haven't been since 2001. I mean, if I could, it would actually be really, really cool. Obviously, the priority is get the Phillies in the playoffs for me. That's what I'm paying attention to. Mm-hmm. But if the Mariners also got in the playoffs, I think the next longest drought, the Pirates would have one of the longest, but I think there's a few teams who haven't been since 2014. I don't think the Angels have been since 2014.
I think the Orioles and the Rangers are in that conversation somewhere.
They might be in that conversation as well.
Kansas Trout, City as well.
Kansas City won in 2015, right?
Yeah. That's so still six years.
And this, but they had, you know, and they at least won. The Angels got swept, I think, in 2014. So they might be now entering the conversation. But the fans of the Mariners have been waiting 20 years for a postseason drought. So as a baseball fan, that would be really cool. And, you know, it's not exactly the biggest fan of the Yankees or their fans. It would be quite funny to see them get beat out by like the Blue Jays or the Mariners for that final wild card spot. So that's certainly something I'm watching here. So it's just pennant race baseball, like divisions and playoff spots. This is, you know, every day we're going to have something new clinch, and it really only takes to the final day of the season. It's the beauty of playing, not the final day, but like the final week or so here of the season. It's the beauty of playing 162.
Yep. And the even crazier part is, I don't know, I'd have to fact check this on my own, but the Phillies and the Mariners, who you both mentioned, are in the playoff race, and they're the only teams really in the playoff race at this point that have negative run differentials, which is very interesting.
Not exactly doing it on the backs of, you know, statistical probability. No. The Phillies have won a lot of one run games and close calls this year, and they've been blown out a number of times. So not necessarily surprising, but look, no one counts the run total at the end of the year. It's how many wins and losses you have.
Yep, exactly. But the thing is, it's crazy as well, as Seattle has a negative 53 run differential. Imagine they make
that's
the playoffs.
That's remarkable. And that's like, that's like five times worse than what the Phillies have.
The Phillies are at minus four. So the Phillies, based on if they sweep the Pirates here, they would probably get over back into that positive spot. But I guess also now too, with every host now I'm trying to gauge, what are your World Series predictions at this point of where we're at this current moment?
Ooh, World Series predictions. I would love, because usually I do this at the beginning of the playoffs, so a little bit on the spot here, but I'm trying to think who I like. I feel like there's a very good chance we get a White Sox Rays ALCS. I'm trying to think who I like out of those. I would like to see the Rays get back. I think they're a cool team to watch, especially in the playoffs. So I would really, I think it would be a good series, but I'll say the Rays get back in the AL. In the NL, maybe this is optimistic thinking. I mean, I would really like, I just don't realistically, I would love to see it be the Phillies. I just don't think it's realistic. They have to get in the playoffs first. I don't think they would get there even if they got in. I don't know. Could we, it's like, it's a square pick because I'm picking the best record in both leagues, but I don't know, a Giants Rays world, like it doesn't usually go that chalk. I mean, last year, the Dodgers were the best team, and they finally won. But I don't know. Giants-Rays, I think, would be a really fun series. Of course, everyone's favorite in Philadelphia, Gabe Kapler. So I would probably – I don't know if I would pick the Giants. I feel like I'll go on a limb. I'll say this is the Rays year.
Wow. I mean, here's my thing is we –
and I don't necessarily have any like specific reasoning behind it other than it, you know, they've been knocking on the door a while. We've seen in recent years teams knock on the door, finally get over the hump.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the Rays year.
This is where, for me as an outsider, obviously the Rays, a lot of their success is involved with people that were on the Pittsburgh Pirates. But you realistically, if it sets up correctly, this is how, by the way, host of Locked On Pirates, I hold no cards in this at all. If I could decide in the American League that we're on the American League at the moment, if I could decide a series that I would want to watch for five games, because it would have to happen in five games just because of the format. If I could watch the Toronto Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays go at it for five games,
well,
I don't
after
think you're
especially
finding
what
another
just
series.
Happened.
Yeah.
After what just happened. What is your take on that, by the way? I haven't had a chance to get many opinions on this, and I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. Like, you know, they didn't have little cards in their pockets for like the information wasn't as, you know, in detail as it is now in terms of like a pitch card. Now guys in the outfield have shift cards. I mean, in your opinion, it's obviously it's different from the Astros scandal. That was breaking a written rule. This was not breaking a written rule. This was, you know, trying to get an edge in a way that many might argue is against the written rules of baseball, but we've never really seen anything like this before. So there is no rule that says you can't do this. In your opinion, is it fair game?
I mean, once you put something on paper like that and you take it on the field with you, whatever happens to it, that's your issue. Like, that's realistically where, I mean, if you
lose, that's kind of how I feel, to be honest. Yeah.
And I mean, it sucks from the Blue Jays standpoint. Yeah. But I mean, that's just something where I get having the cards and everything, but it's also, if it's on a card, the players can memorize it. Like, they can memorize. Okay, cool. Kevin Kiermaier's up the bat right now. He's probably going to hit the ball wherever he hits the ball. Like, let me shift this way. You're really telling me a guy who gets paid over millions of dollars can't remember where he needs to be defensively without having to read it on a card?
Apparently not, because they all do it.
But again, though, like a Rays Toronto,
it would be nuts. Yeah.
And I mean, that's where you look at like what the matchups would be as of right now, as we're talking about it. Boston, New York in a wild card game would sell like hotcakes. I mean, especially it's in Boston. I mean, like, that crowd would go insane. That crowd,
that's probably the two best markets in baseball and the oldest rivalry. Yeah.
And you also have the Dodgers and St. Louis, also the background noise, but we'll just let it go. It's kind of soothing in a way. The Dodgers and St. Louis. St. Louis is never losing a baseball game again, and the Dodgers are the Dodgers.
They're hot. Yeah. They're riding momentum. That's how it works.
And then, of course, like, you have the White Sox and the Astros, and then you also have Milwaukee and Milwaukee and Atlanta. Atlanta's no pushover by any means of the like imagination. And of course, if you had to ask me for my World Series prediction, I'm kind of with you on the Rays. I think they have a chip on their shoulder. They want to get back with the Dodgers. And I know it's boring, but Rays Dodgers seems like a good track.
Just again. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I mean, but if I had to choose what I want to see, White Sox Brewers, give me the Brewers pitching staff against that offense. Or even give me Toronto versus Milwaukee. Milwaukee would be nuts.
Tony La Russa back managing the World Series as he returns.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. Just remember, guys, Tim Anderson said that's his guy. They picked the right guy. But with that said, I mean, we're basically both riding Tampa Bay, but he is obviously riding the Phillies. So, Dan, where can everybody find the Locked On Phillies podcast and all of your work?
Yeah, for sure. You can follow, obviously subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcast, wherever you listen to Locked On Pirates as well. You can follow on Twitter at @LO_Phillies. Follow myself on Twitter at @Dan_Wilson4. And that's where you can find me and you can find Locked On Phillies.
Oh, yeah, of course. And you guys can always follow this show at Locked On Pirates on Twitter. You can follow me at @MVP_Ethan on Twitter. Me and Dan, of course, will be watching the series very closely throughout the weekend, even though the Eagles and Steelers also play this week. But the Eagles play on Monday against the Cowboys. Hopefully they win.
It was a nice off day. The schedule worked out perfectly. But, you know, I'll be co-watching this weekend because Phillies Pirates and, you know, my San Diego Padres are also playing tonight. So a big Padres fan this weekend.
Yeah. Big Padres fan, just like Braves fans should be Pirates fans right now. But Dan, it's always a pleasure. I'm sure we'll be probably talking for some reason in the offseason again as well. But enjoy the games this weekend. Guys, thank you so much for listening as always. We will be back on Monday, as we always are, with Mr. Gary Morgan, talking about whatever's going on in the world of Pirates baseball. I should be starting season grades next week, but until then, I will see you on the flip side.